Appreciate it. I appreciate the invitation, and never get used to trying to do a live video like this, but I do ask that y'all pray for us, that my camera will be good if you see me. Do stand in great need of your prayers tonight, the Lord to grant us liberty in our efforts to speak, and that he'd be magnified in all that we say and do. Certainly thank God for his providence that we have the privilege, the health, and the ability to be able to gather with you. Love you all so much, and so thankful to see those from throughout the country that we have been acquainted with and had the privilege to worship with, and certainly love you all and pray for you all, and just it's a great joy to be here. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to read with me this evening, I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 22 at the end of the chapter. The Lord Jesus is going to deal with Pharisees and Sadducees in the chapter. And as he always did with them, they were always trying to trip him up. Their motivation was strictly, that they wanted to tear him down, that they thought he was fake, and they wanted to prove it because they thought they were so smart. But the Lord taught us lessons in how he dealt with them. And one of the biggest things that he taught us was the importance of understanding Scripture, because he always used Scripture to defend or to defeat the things that they brought at him. So he shows us the importance of it. And the text that I'd like to consider tonight is at the end of the chapter, after that he's dealt with the Sadducees and the fact that they didn't believe in the resurrection, bodily resurrection, and how that they tried to complicate the resurrection, and that he proved to them the simplicity of God and the simplicity of his truth. And that's the thing that we gather from Scripture, is that God is simple, that God is clear, that God, as Paul said, God is not the author of confusion. So we understand that God's clear in all that he says and all that he does. And so one of the Pharisees asked the Lord Jesus a question after that. They've seen that the Sadducees haven't had any success. They asked him the question in verse 35. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So again, they're trying to complicate, because that's what man does in his wisdom, is makes things more complicated, more complex than it ought to be. So they're trying to complicate things because there's so many commandments. They're trying to see just what the Lord knows. They're trying to see what he'll say. And the Lord tells them and us the most important principles of what God expects of us. And the Lord says, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, the importance of what the Lord tells us is that everything that God expects has to do with relationship. God's clear, and what God expects of us is how we relate to him and how we relate to each other. And so every principle that God has clearly shown us in his word is how we relate to him and how he relates to us. He tells us, he said that the first commandment is that we're to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our mind. That everything about us needs to be focused on the Trinity, on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That the affection that we have. And that gives us the question of, okay, I understand that the Word tells us that the reason that I love God is because he first loved me. But as I see how I relate with God, I understand how he relates with me. That the very fact that I love him, the very fact that I can give my mind, my attention, my focus, that I can give my energy to Him and be focused on Him and praising Him and giving Him the glory that He's due, because He deserves everything that I am and everything that I have. When I recognize how great He's been to me, I realize that it's the least that I can do to give the very best of me. You remember that David told us in the Psalm, he said that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, I understand that God knows my downsitting and my uprising. He said, I understand that there is nothing that I can hide from Him. There's nowhere I can go that He doesn't know where I'm at. I understand that He knows my very being, that He's known me since before He ever created this world. And I understand David understood that God has all power. He told us that our God is in the heavens and He has done whatsoever He has pleased. So David understood that God has all power, that God's eternal, that there is nobody that can stop God. There's nobody that can question God. There's nobody that can keep God from doing what He wants to do. And that God made the decision, that God made the choice to love Him, to love me. And that in making that decision before He ever created this world to love me meant that He sent Jesus for me and to give me the ability to love Him. When I realized the greatness of God's amazing grace, when I realized the greatness of God's power and of His love and of His mercy, when I realized how sinful I am, but yet God loved me. Remember that Paul told us in Romans chapter 5. He said that when we were yet enemies. Imagine that, my friends. Imagine you or me dying for an enemy. Imagine us dying for somebody that we know hates us. Dying for somebody that would just as soon us be dead as they breathe. To die for somebody that we know despises the very existence that we have, but yet that's what Jesus did. To understand that Jesus suffered a brutal death, suffered the very wrath of God Almighty, that He suffered in a manner that you and I can't begin to imagine, that He suffered for His enemies, for those that despised Him, for those that didn't want Him, for those that were just as soon He'd be dead. The amazingness of God's grace. How that He relates to us. And Jesus is showing us that it's a small thing for me to love God with every fiber of my being. That it's not too much to ask. And this is the first point. This is the main point. This is the basic, the elementary point of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to love God. Because you remember that Jesus was promoting the Father. He's not promoting Himself. Even though He was equal with the Father, He never promoted Himself. That's what Paul told us in Philippians 2. He said that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He was, because He is. But He made Himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant. You see, the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ is that He's God. He's God incarnate. He's God in the flesh. But yet He didn't promote Himself. Yet He didn't go around telling everybody how great He was. He showed His might. He showed His power. He showed His majesty by the work that He did. But He showed us that our first simple act is to love God. Because we see the greatness of God's love for us. Because as Paul told us in Romans 5, that we see the love of God in that He sent His Son to die for us who were enemies. The greatness of His love, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. That as Paul describes to you and me, that Jesus showed his love for me by the fact that he died for me when I didn't want it. That he died for me when I was his enemy. That he suffered in a manner that I can't imagine when I was his enemy. In my human nature, being his enemy. The Lord tells us. It's simple. And I need that today, friends. I need simplicity. I need simple direction. Because the world that you and I live in, it's a complicated world. There's so many rules. There's so many different ways that there's so much to do and so much to hinder us and so much to take our time. We need simplicity. And the Lord gives us simplicity. He said, it's simple. To serve God is simple. The first thing is to love Him with everything that I am. And when I see how much He loves me, it should be easy for me in my spiritual service, in my spiritual nature, it should be easy for me to give Him all that I am. But the challenge for me to remember just how much He loves me, to remember just how much He gave for me, to remember just how much I owe Him, how much that I owe God for what He's done. As Jesus told him, He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Now the difficulty of it is that the Lord didn't say once. He didn't say once a day. He didn't say once a month. He didn't say once an hour. He said, do it. So, the expectation that God has is for me to love Him all the time. Now, I want you to see in this that the Lord lays out for you and me that what God expects of us is the development of our relationships. That how we relate to Him and how we relate to each other. Because He said, if we focus first on how we relate to Him, and that's in understanding that we're sinners, understanding how far short we fall, understanding that anything that's not of faith is sin, understanding that the very thoughts of my mind betray me. Jesus said, not just with my heart, not just with my affection, but also with my mind. That every thought that I have, God expects it to belong to Him. God expects me to give it to Him. And when I see that the weakness that I have, when I see the faults that I have, when I see that the failures that I'm clearly experiencing, the conviction that I feel, because every idle thought, every vain thought is a sin that Jesus was crucified for. And when I begin to comprehend that, I see how much that I owe the Lord for the fact that I'm washed in the blood, that I'm saved by His grace, that Jesus saved us from our sins. When I begin to see how vast the ocean of my sins are, I want to love Him with every fiber of my being. I want to love Him with my mouth. I want to love Him with my mind. I want to love Him with my affection. I want to love Him every moment of every day. And to have that attitude, to have that attitude is going to help me with the second. Because if my attitude's not right, I'm not ever going to meet the second one. If my mind is not focused on loving the Lord and praising Him for the fact that you've got eternal life, praising Him for the fact that you've got the Spirit within you, praising Him for the fact that you feel conviction of your sins and your wrongs, that you mourn over them, that you're heartbroken over the mistakes that you make, that you're praising God for that because it's evidence that you're His. Oh, my friends, to have our minds centered on that helps us with the second one. Because each and every one of us, each and every one of us is like the wild Gadarene in Mark chapter 5. When Jesus found him in the tombs, found him with the chains around him, found him when nobody else wanted him. That's our experience, my friends, that God found us. God found us when we were unlovable. God found us when we were desirable. God found us when we were His enemy and nobody wanted us and we were in the tombs. God found us in that helpless condition and had mercy on us and delivered us from the power of Satan and saved us from that condition. And He gave us our right mind. And He gave us the ability to love. And He gave us faith. And He gave us the Spirit. And He gave us the ability to understand who He is and to believe Him and to trust Him and to live our life serving Him. I want to see that every day. Because when I see that, it helps me with the second. So Jesus tells me the second is like the first. They're both just as difficult. They're both just as simple. He said, the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So I'm to love my neighbor as myself. How do you love you? You know, when it comes to me, I don't want anybody. I don't want anybody saying, ugly things to me or about me. I don't want somebody harming me. I don't want somebody harming my body. I don't want somebody harming my mind. I don't want somebody doing something that is going to negatively impact me. So Jesus tells me that I am to love my neighbor. And that's anybody. Because he told the disciples when they asked him, well, who is my neighbor? And he gave the example of the Samaritan who found the man, found the man in the street, half dead. And the Samaritan showed kindness to him. So anybody I come in contact with is my neighbor. And he said, love them as yourself. So that means that the way I talk to them, when I open my mouth and speak to anybody, I need to think about the fact, hey, if they were saying that to me, how would I approach it? How would I feel? Because Jesus tells us, not only are we to love them as ourselves, but we're to love them more than ourselves. And we're to prefer them above us. So how do I want them to talk to me? That's the way I need to talk to them. Jesus gave this same thought when he told the disciples that as you would have men do unto you, do unto them. How would I want my neighbor, my friends, my family, any person that I randomly come into contact with during the day, what do I want them to do to me? I want them to be kind. I want them to be patient. I want them to not think the worst of me. I want them to not think that, you know, that I'm out to harm them or out to hurt them. I don't want them to be jealous of me. I don't want them to be envious of me. I don't want them to think the absolute worst of me as soon as I walk in the room. So that's the way that Jesus tells this lawyer and me, that's the way I need to be. But you see, the difficulty of it is that I need the first one. I need to be loving God and seeing myself as the sinner that I am and seeing myself in need of grace and seeing that I don't deserve anything. I need to have that attitude to be able to do this. Because if I'm thinking more of me than I actually am, you know, if I'm feeling sorry for myself, if I'm bitter over how difficult the day is, guess what? I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to be difficult to deal with. I'm going to be difficult to be around. But then the other thing Jesus in telling him and me this, well, what if that person's having a bad day and they say something unkind to you? How would you want them to respond to you if you did that? Would you want them to chew you up, spit you out? Would you want them to think you're always that way? Would you want them to destroy you? No. So the whole idea of loving them as myself shows me how I should approach it. But Jesus goes a step further with it. And we all know that in Matthew 25, when he's telling the righteous how that they served him, he tells them and us, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Oh, that takes it a step further. Not only, and that's why he's telling us here that the two go together. Because the way that I treat my neighbor is exactly how I'm treating Jesus. And that's the convicting part for me. But I need this because I need this simple reminder. I need this simple instruction. I need this light for me today with all the unrest, with all the bickering, with all the anger, with all the hatred, with all the nastiness that's going on around us in this society, my friends. We need to remember this, that we have clear direction of how we ought to live in this world and how we ought to treat each other and how we ought to treat those that we come in contact with because of the great love that God of heaven has for us in that he saved us from our sins and that he's given us eternal life and that he's promised us that he's coming back in the resurrection, and he is. Praise God tonight that we have that truth that Jesus is coming back, and that's how we face each day. That's how, with that expectation, with that light, with that hope that we have, that's how we're going to get through. That's how we're going to live. That's how we're going to show kindness in the midst of a perverse nation, my friends, is because we understand that we are children of the King. We understand that God has loved us with an everlasting love, and that his blood is upon us, and that Jesus is returning for these bodies. So he tells this lawyer, these two, covers everything that God expects. Ain't it amazing how simple God is? How easily understood God is. God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't make it complex. And that's the lie I need now. Is to understand, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ today, all I need to do is to love everybody I come in contact with as I would myself. And in doing that, I'm loving God. You know, Paul told us in the Colossian letter, when he talked about husbands and wives, that, you know, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We are to love one another because when we do, we're loving God. Jesus told us that. Jesus told the disciples. In John, he said, he told them to love one another even as I have loved you. And we go back. How has Jesus loved us? He gave all he had. He gave his life. He gave the very best that he had. He gave us the most wonderful gift that we could ever have. Jesus said himself, no greater gift can a man than this. Then he laid down his life for his friends. And he laid his life down for us. Lord, help us today to stay focused, our affection on the Lord Jesus. Help us to not feel sorry for ourselves. Help us to not get downcast and discouraged and troubled and sorrowed and bitter. Help us, Lord, to stay focused on this, that it's simple to serve the Lord in a complex world. You know, I'm going to close with this. Paul told the Corinthian church that God took the wisdom of men and confounded the wise. You know, Paul told them and us that men are nothing compared to God. And praise the Lord, my friends, that he's our God. And that we have the wisdom of God. And we have preaching. Paul told the Corinthian church the foolishness of preaching. Preaching's foolish to the wisdom of men. It always has been. It always will be. But preaching to the child of God who's convicted of his sin, who has brokenhearted, it is the power of God. It is that sweet message. It is that sweet story. It is that sweet truth that is telling them, yes, you're a sinner, but you're a sinner saved by grace. Lord, help me. Lord, help us to be focused on these two. Because this is what God expects. And it's simple. May the Lord help you and me as we endeavor to keep these two, because on this hangs everything that God has ever taught. And if we work to put these in practice, we'll live a life that is pleasing to the God of heaven. I thank y'all for your kind attention. I'll turn